Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 8, day 3 of our study of Luke. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Luke 19, 45 through 20, verse 8. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. If you've ever had any questions or comments about the podcast or the 10-week Bible study in general, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me through my email, me@darrenhibbs.com, or you can find all of my contact information in the show notes in the description. With that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. We want to encounter the living word today, Jesus. You're alive and well in these words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Luke 19, starting at verse 45. When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. It is written, he said to them, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of robbers. So this is one of the moments that Jesus drives these people out. This seems like when you put all the gospels together, this doesn't seem like one event. This seems like this happens a few times, two, maybe even three different times. Jesus has zeal for his house. It says in other places that, you know, the disciples later on, like, watch Jesus, like, whipping people and driving them out. And said later, they remembered the scripture that says, zeal for my house has consumed me. And the reason that Jesus has zeal for his house, zeal for this temple, is this is the place that people would come to learn about God, the temple, and then by extension, the synagogue system. Most people in those days, or a lot of people, I mean, at least in Jewish culture, they weren't necessarily illiterate, but a lot of people around the world were illiterate. Gentiles were illiterate, a lot of them. So they would come to the temple or to synagogues to hear the scripture read to them. The other thing, even if they weren't illiterate, I mean, scrolls and books were very hard to come by, very expensive, because they all had to be hand copied. And so you just couldn't just go get one. I mean, you couldn't order on Amazon and get a new scroll of the Bible. And so hearing it read in these places was really one of the only places they had access to this. So the Lord's house is, this is an important, important place in a way that we have some modern context to, but really only a little bit, only a fraction of the context that they had in that, again, this was the only place that most people could go to hear or read the word of God for themselves or hear it spoken to them. Nowadays, we have access to it everywhere. I encourage you to read the book of Luke 10 times in 10 weeks in every book that we go through, because you can access it on your smartphone. You can have it read to you. You can read it. I mean, in this room alone, I probably have 15 Bibles. We have so much access to it. Not so much in that day. And so the zeal that the Lord had for his house was immense, because that was the place. And one of the only ways that they had to go fellowship with the written word of God, which is just so important. Verse 47, every day he was preaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on their words. This is not publicly known at this point. I mean, at this point in the story. Now, Luke, of course, writing this way, way later, understands and has hindsight to piece all of these things together. He's got information from the apostles. There were Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers of the law, priests, Levites, all of these different people that are involved in some of these plots and just everything that's going on. We know from the book of Acts that I don't want to say most of them. I don't even know if I want to say many of them, but a number of priests and Levites and Pharisees and Sadducees, teachers of the law, all these people, they become believers. They join the church. And so they're able to tell these stories. They're able to say, yeah, it was actually at this point when Jesus entered Jerusalem, they're like, we've got to do something about this, but they didn't know what to do, because everyone is just like, we love Jesus. We love him so much. And so they're really at a loss for what to do. And they're able to tell Luke all of this information. And here he's compiled it for us. Chapter 20, verse 1. One day as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple courts and proclaiming the good news, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, came up to him. Tell us by what authority you are doing these things, they said. who gave you this authority? Now, this is something that in our podcast, on our discussion on the book of John, we talked about extensively. The way everything worked back then, again, I don't want to say most people. I think most Jewish men were not necessarily illiterate. I mean, a lot of them were. Most of the world was illiterate. In fact, I mean, most people throughout human history have been at least functionally illiterate. A vast minority of people throughout human history have been able to read and write, or at least, you know, up until the modern age. I would say that probably the vast majority of people on planet Earth now are at least functionally literate, maybe not as literate as they could be, but functionally literate. But for most of human history, most people were not functionally literate. And so the way this worked, and again, they didn't have books. They didn't have easy access to books and things like that. It was very expensive to hand copy these things. So you didn't just have a scroll. You didn't have books to learn from. So the way that all of this worked was to become a rabbi, to become a Pharisee, a teacher of the law. These people, they had to go to the temple in Jerusalem and sit before the rabbis who were already there, already established. And basically the seminary, the school, the university of the day was that they would go and they would sit and listen to these people. They would have to read and study and listen to the Bible and memorize large chunks of it, in some cases, all of the Old Testament scriptures. And they would also have to sit and listen to the oral traditions and the oral teachings that they refused to write down. And in many cases, they had to learn them incredibly well and memorize the oral traditions that were passed down. And so this required that anybody with learning and understanding had to come through them. And so if you were going to become a rabbi, you had to go and learn from them in person. So they had a personal connection because, again, books and all that kind of stuff, very expensive and difficult to disseminate at that point. So they knew every single person who they had taught and then kind of like basically anointed with the authority to go out and then teach the same thing to the people. But not Jesus. Jesus had not studied under them. He had not done that. He had not gone through any of that. I mean, we're talking about a carpenter, for crying out loud. A carpenter's son, not a teacher of the law, not a Pharisee, not any of these people. He didn't fit. And so they knew that they hadn't given him the authority. So they're asking, under what authority do you think you can do these things? Because the hidden underlying question is, we didn't give it to you. So really, they're not asking like where his authority came from. They're asking, where do you get off? but basically, you know, why do you think you can go and do all of this is really what they're asking. And Jesus is going to turn the question on its head. Verse 3, he replied, I will also ask you a question. Tell me, John's baptism, was it from heaven or of human origin? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, all the people will stone us because they are persuaded that John was a prophet. So they answered, we don't know where it was from. Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. This is just so amazing. I mean, Jesus didn't randomly pick one thing to throw at them. He knew the tension and the dynamics that were going on with them when it came to John the Baptist. He picked the perfect thing. And so, you know, they're saying, you know, what authority did you do this by? They didn't like John either, but John carried this weight that even when they went to see John, John wasn't afraid of them. He called them a brood of vipers and snakes, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these rulers. He was not afraid of them. And he carried this spiritual authority that no one was used to seeing. That's why they went out to the wilderness to see him. They flocked to him in droves. And these guys, they couldn't do anything about it. So they didn't like him because he insulted them. But they knew that all the people held that he was a prophet. And if they speak against the prophet, they're like, we're afraid they'll kill us. And so they come back and they give a very uncharacteristic, but very political, very carefully couched answer. And they say, we don't know. In the end, we know what they actually thought. They actually thought, well, we don't think it's of God's origin. We don't think it's heavenly origin. We just think he was doing stuff and the people liked him. That's what they really thought, but they're too afraid to say it. And Jesus calls them on it. And basically in the midst of this turns it on their head and they end up looking stupid because they can't say where did John's baptism come from? Even though they're the ones that should be able to say, well, it carried the authority of heaven or it wasn't or whatever. They look strange and weird. And so it's one of those things where I've said this before, but don't challenge God to a battle of wits. You're going to lose every single time. And as we read through the rest of chapter 20, we're going to see that they want to keep challenging God in the flesh to a battle of wits. And they're going to keep losing. It's not going to go well for them. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.